Psalm 23, good to see everyone here tonight. Thank you for coming to our prayer meeting. Just want to bring to an end a little study that we've been looking together when I had the opportunity here to speak in the prayer meeting, Psalm 23. I've been preaching 20 years, and I've never preached from Psalm 23 before, to just lately, till we start this week's study. Of course, you referred to verses in your sermons, but I've never preached in a church service, really, on Psalm 23. And so it's been good to look at this together from your own heart even as well. So we're going to read this well-known psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And amen. We now come to the final verse of this great portion of the Word of God. We have indeed over the last few months really been looking together at the one who is the great shepherd of his people. And I have no doubt myself and even you tonight, child of God, we have seen something of the unfailing faithfulness of the Lord to his people. And we have learned about the numerous blessings that he bestows upon us. And in this life, Christ is the one who meets the need of his flock. And I'm glad tonight, as I live in this world, this needy world, each and every one of us, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In the day of recession, in the day of hard times, it's good for us to learn that lesson and to keep it before us. There'll be times of want in our life, no doubt about us. But I'm glad in this world as we live, we have a shepherd. We have a great shepherd. We have a shepherd who will look after his people. And he will meet their every need. And that is my shepherd. Are you not glad tonight that you have a shepherd? One I love so well. And this great shepherd that we've been looking, we have learned that he leads us at times to the still waters. There are times he leads us to the green pastures. There's times that we're cast down and we feel that we cannot go on. And yet we learned in this psalm, he restoreth my soul. There are times in our life when we're weak and we're weary and we feel we cannot go on. Well, the good shepherd comes alongside and he's lifted us up and put us on our feet. I'm sure, child of God, you can recall many times in your life when you were cast down to the one side and weary, the good shepherd lifted you up. You see, he restoreth my soul. He helps us through the valley of the shadow of death in sufferings and in sorrows. He takes us through the valleys. That's one great thing about it. He's always with his people in the valley. Maybe you're in the valley tonight. Maybe there's trouble in your life and heart tonight. Listen, the Lord is with you. Even in the valley, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He'll be with you in the valley. Then why should we fret and why should we fear? Well, we have a shepherd like the Lord Jesus Christ. He prepares a table, we learned in the last lesson. He anointeth their heads with oil. So great is his cure that he saith, my cup overflows. Oh, dear friends, he just wasn't having a little blessing from the Lord. He had great blessings from Christ. And so great and so numerous were these blessings that he said here, my cup runneth over. Man, we all count our blessings. We couldn't really count them. Great and numerous are the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Surely tonight we all can say, my cup runneth over. We now come to the last verse where he says here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No doubt he's thinking again of the great blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon him. But in saying these words, I believe he reveals to us lessons about his great shepherd. There's a great danger of looking at all the blessings that you miss the shepherd. We get so caught up with this, with the things that God has given us and the many, many blessings that he has given us. As I have said, so many blessings that our cup runneth over, that we're looking and looking at these blessings. You can miss the shepherd, because the Lord is my shepherd. And oh, that tonight, even in the last verse here of this great psalm, we will see something of our shepherd. We will learn lessons about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, first of all, we can see something here about the shepherd's heart. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. A reading of these words reveals that Christ thinks nothing but love and care to his people. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And David here, in a sense, he's looking at the very heart of Christ. The heart of Christ that he has to his people. And when he looks at it, he sees nothing but love. Nothing but love to his people. Because you have the display of his love. The love of Christ to his people is displayed in two ways. The first way it is displayed is goodness. Now that word goodness is first mentioned in Genesis 1 and verse 5. And God saw the light, and it was good. And when David looked at the shepherd, and he looked at the very heart of a shepherd, all he saw was goodness. All he saw in the love of Christ to his people was this goodness of the shepherd toward him. And a good shepherd, Christ is the good shepherd, and he looks after his sheep. And he looks after his flock. I was reading and studying for this message, Philip Keller, he told about a shepherd, a neighbour that lived beside him. He was a bad shepherd. Didn't really care about the sheep. Didn't really feed his sheep. He told how the sheep used to break out and go into his land. And anyway, to cut a long story short, one day there was three sheep broke out into his land, fell into difficulties, and they fell down ill. And the man lifted them and he put them into a wheelbar. And he says that he took them over to his neighbour's. And he says that shepherd just took a knife out of his pocket. And he says he cut the three throats of the sheep. He was cruel. He was hard. He did not love his sheep. He was no doubt a cruel shepherd. But oh dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is so different. He will always be good to his flock. Remember this, it was his goodness of Christ that saved us. Why are we all saved tonight? Why is it we have everlasting life? Well, it's the goodness. It's the goodness of Christ, our good shepherd, to save us. In Romans 2 and verse 4, Paul writing to the church of Rome, and he says, or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and long suffering, and not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And he's writing to these people who were idolaters and who were sinners. And he says, listen, you have been saved. You have been brought to repentance. But why is it you have turned? Why is it your heart has turned? Why is it now that you have repented? Why is it now that you're loving God and serving God? What did it? He said it was the goodness of God. It was nothing else. It was the goodness of Christ, the goodness of God that saved us people. And I look at our own lives tonight, it's only the goodness of God that we're saved. The goodness of Christ has saved us. He led us to repentance. It was nothing in my heart, child of God, and it was nothing in your heart that caused you to turn from your sin to Christ, but it was the goodness. It was the goodness of a shepherd's heart. As the goodness of Christ that shelters his people in this world. In Psalm 144 verse 1, David says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hand to war and my fingers to fight. And then he talks about the battle. He says in verse 2, my goodness and my fortress and my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I will trust. who subdueth my people under me. And David talks about life. Yes, there's times he has to fight. There's a war and there's a battle and there's a conflict. And there's a time in his life, he's saying here, well, there's an enemy to face. But he says of God, he's my goodness. He is my fortress and my high tower. He is my shield. You see, the goodness of God was keeping him safe. And you know, as we and I, by looking at this great psalm together, the eye of Christ is always upon us. He's always upon us. We're surrounded in this world with enemies. Enemies without eye and enemies within the old heart. But oh, the goodness of Christ, he keeps me safe. And dear child of God, it's been his goodness has kept you safe today, nothing else. His goodness keeps his people safe. It's his goodness that brings a supply to his people, because in Jeremiah 31 and verse 14, he says, I will saturate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Nothing but the goodness of God keeps his people, provides for his people, and has saved his people. And David knew the good shepherd will display nothing but goodness towards him. You see, the goodness of God towards his flock. And listen, nothing but goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Nothing but goodness. You know, the Lord thinks nothing but good and love towards his people. I know the devil comes and he said to us, well, the Lord has left you. How often we have believed those things? How often the devil has suggested, when difficult times has come, that God's against us. And he doesn't like us anymore. And he doesn't love us. And all of these calamities and all of these troubles is God turning against us. His heart is turned against us. That's a lie. Because there's nothing but goodness. The goodness of God towards his people. In his heart there's nothing but goodness. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Listen, thoughts of good, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Child of God, the Lord displays nothing but goodness towards his people. But then there's something else also. There's mercy. And when David looked into the heart, he saw goodness, but he saw mercy. If goodness speaks about God's provision and presence in our lives, mercy speaks about his pardon. The Lord's mercy is great towards his people. We couldn't measure it, actually. His mercy is great mercy. You know, it tells us in Psalm 86 verse 5, the Lord, thou art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. And when David looked into the heart of the shepherd, he saw there was goodness betrayed towards him. But he saw something else. He saw this mercy, the mercy of Christ that was put towards him. And God's mercy is everlasting. It is everlasting mercy that he gives his people. You even think about the shepherd in relation to the flock. Time and time and time again he gives him mercy. How often the sheep go astray. How often he brings them into pastures. How often he looks around and they've gone. They've went astray from the shepherd. They've run away from his presence. Do you know what he does? Doesn't he go after them? Doesn't he grant them mercy? Doesn't he bring them back even into the fold again? And he says, so it is with the Lord, even towards his people. How often we feel Christ. Even this very day, I'm sure every one of us here in this meeting today can say, yes, I have sinned against the Lord today. I have failed my shepherd. I have wandered far from Christ today. I have wandered away from his law. I have wandered away from his presence. I have wandered away from his word. But when you ask him to forgive you your sins, he give you mercy. He's granted his love and his mercy again and again and again to his people. And there's nothing but mercy in the heart of our shepherd towards all his people. Nothing but mercy. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 31 it says, "The Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he swore unto them." And dear friends, I say, His mercy is great towards his people. And he displays this mercy time and time and time again, even this very day. Maybe even this night and this meeting you need mercy. Dear friends, these two twins, like two sheepdogs, the Lord's sheepdogs, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. He looks into his heart. Think of the dedication of his love, because he says, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me." We'll not take time to look that up, but if you look that word through the Bible, you'll see that it means to hunt. It is translated in 1 Samuel 26 verse 20. David was rebuking Saul, and he says, "The one does hunt." He says, "You're hunting, you're pursuing me." It is translated in Genesis 14 and verse 14 as pursuit. And in Joshua 7 verse 5 they have the same word, chased. And so really here's two things: following the child of God, chasing the child of God, hunting the child of God, like two sheepdogs running after the sheep. The shepherd is going before, but behind the flock there are two sheepdogs, and their goodness and mercy. And you know, child of God, in our life, as you and I live for Christ, there are two sheepdogs following us, and they're called goodness and mercy. They're coming after us. They're coming after us all the time. I know tonight that we sing that hymn, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well," and we're following Jesus. He leads us. But they're all behind us, of course, are the sheepdogs. Goodness of mercy. We take a wee look around tonight, and we see these two sheepdogs of the Lord, goodness and mercy. And they're following us tonight. That's the heart of the shepherd. There's goodness and there's mercy. And listen, nothing but goodness and mercy. Because he said here, if you look at verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." He was confident of this fact. As he lived in this life, he took a look around him and he saw these two twin sheepdogs. The two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy following him. Oh, child of God, take a look behind you tonight. Maybe you feel the devil's following me, and he does give us bother. Maybe there's problems following you. Maybe you feel tonight, well, the whole world's going to crumble in around me. Just have a wee look. Do you see him? Do you see goodness and mercy following you? That's what's really following you. Goodness and mercy. They are following every child of God. And the duration of his love also here. He says, listen, all the days of my life. He didn't just say here, well, some of the days of my life, there'll be some days I'll look and I'll see goodness and mercy and they'll be following me. But then there'll be other days and they'll not be following me. That's not the case. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all. And notice the word. All the days of my life. The dark days, the clouds, the troubles, the storms, the pain, the tears. Yes, they follow me. The dangerous days, spring days, summer days, winter days, sunshine days. Listen, all the days of my life, you'll see these two twins, or you'll see these two sheep, goodness and mercy. If you look closely, so the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 28, all things work together for good for them that love God. Oh, even the hard things for good. The things that bring us pain and tears and trouble for good. It never changes. Dear friends, circumstances may change in our life, but these things with our shepherd and the relationship with Christ to his people never changes. It never changes. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You're only a young Christian. Listen, goodness and mercy will follow you. Middle years, goodness and mercy still following. Old age now, have a look around. Goodness of mercy still following his people. All the days of my life. The folly right to the end. It was said of David Livingstone, who was a great missionary, a great man of God, that they found him kneeling at his bedside, but his spirit was gone. On his bed, the Bible was lying open, and there was open in Matthew's Gospel at the end of the last chapter. In the margin were the words written by him, the word of a gentleman. It was that verse 20. Lo, I am with you always. You see, he had proven it. Always. Goodness and mercy had followed him. Listen, to the very end. To the very end, you see. Oh, the duration of this love of Christ shall follow me all the days. All the days of my life. And friends, as I said to you earlier on, if we just look at our circumstances, no matter how bitter it may be, no matter how bad it may be, how terrible the situation may be that you find yourself in tonight, if you look closely, you will find goodness and you'll find mercy. If you look closely. But sometimes we don't see it. Do you know why? Because you don't look. You don't look, you see. But if you look closely, you'll find them. Goodness and mercy following you. As we rhyme, it says, two men looked through bars. One saw mud, and the other saw stars. That's through the Christmas, isn't it? We'll look out through the same wee window, the same trouble, the same wee cell, and all the people see some mud. But that boy's looking up, and he sees the stars. Oh, the shepherd's heart, if he looked at night, what do we see? If I look into his heart tonight, what do I see of my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And David is saying this from the depth of his heart. The Lord is my shepherd. And he looks into his heart. He sees goodness and mercy. Goodness of mercy. And listen, what David saw towards him, we see towards ourselves. It never changes. Goodness of mercy shall follow me all the days. All the days of my life. But David looked at the shepherd. He saw the shepherd's home as well. Those shepherds at the end of the day in the hills with his flock, he brought them home. Maybe sometimes he's away from home a long time with the sheep in the pastures. But how delighted it would be for him to bring them home and all the sheep get into the fold after perhaps a long time on the hills. You know, the psalmist David is looking forward to going home. No doubt he can make reference here to the tabernacle, the house of the Lord, and being in the house of praise and prayer and worship and unto God. But no doubt, of course, we can see heaven in this place, the house of the Lord. And there's one thing about David, he had this confidence at the end of his life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David had a shepherd, not just in life, not just for death, as we have noticed, but David had a shepherd. He had a God for all eternity. When he got to heaven, the Lord would still be a shepherd. There's three stages in the psalm. There's life, of course. There's death in the valley. And then there's eternity. But oh dear friends, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he looked and he saw the shepherd's heart. And he saw the shepherd's home. The house of the Lord forever. And every child of God is the same here tonight. While we dwell on this earth, we know that one day, we'll all be in the house of the Lord forever. We know that. Nothing, as we know, nothing because of ourselves. Nothing what we have done, but all because of Christ and his love and his mercy and his goodness. And we'll all be there. Isn't that wonderful? That doesn't mean we'll not fall on the journey. It doesn't mean sometimes that you'll not have a doubt. But I tell you this, we'll all go. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that wonderful? Just to be able to say that. I'm going. A child of God, you're going as well. There's a home in heaven. for God's people. Of course, this shepherd's home is a prepared home. We know that, of course, as some of the well-known verses that's in the Bible in John 14. The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 3, "And I go and prepare a place for you. And then I come again and receive you unto myself. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And it is this prepared place. Do you know what a beautiful place heaven will be? The glory of the Lord will be in heaven. And when you read Revelation, they give some of the descriptions of the jewels and the golden streets and what heaven will really be like. But do we really know what it will be like? I think in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Do you know, friends, no words of mine tonight will tell you anything of the beauty of the home that God has prepared for them that love him. I have not seen it. Ear has not heard. Neither, says here Paul, has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It is a prepared home. It's going to be a beautiful place. And one day God's people, every one of God's people, will be in this home, a prepared home. "I go to prepare a place," he said, "for you." Don't think, child of God, tonight that Christ has forgotten about you. Don't think about it. He's in heaven tonight preparing a place, listen, for you and for me tonight. You see, we're going home. Each one of us, we all know tonight how quickly our lives are going past us. But the whole truth of it all is that we're going home tonight. We look at our shepherd, we see his heart, but listen, we see his home. And he's in heaven and he wants every one of his people. He wants every one of his blood-bought people with him in heaven. You can read John 17. Didn't he pray that? That everyone the Father would have given to him, that he would be with him in glory. In fact, that they would see his glory. You see, he wants his home. One day we're going to have to die to go home. That's the reality. But listen, we're going home. Not great. We're going home. Hospital, I have a great shepherd. It's a home prepared, a home of peace as well, because in Revelation 21, verse 4, a well-known verse, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And we see this multitude of people, and they're all home. And they're all with their shepherd. And they're all with Christ. And God drives away all tears. And all sorrow's gone. You see, dear friends, it's a home of peace. No more sin. No more sickness. No more sorrow. No more death. Why? See, we're home. I know tonight there are Christians and they're suffering greatly. And suffered perhaps for many, many years of some illness. But there's a day coming when there'll be home and it's all over. And if you have a long time illness or a problem with any, whatever it may be, that's causing you sorrow and pain and tears, listen, it'll soon all be over. Because you're going home. You're going home to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think it's a home that's pleasant and full of joy. You think of the company. Just the flock of the Lord over there. Man, doesn't it grieve us this world? When you put on the news or lift the newspaper, the sin that comes before us, it grieves. We're like Lot. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Well, no, the times were vexed. But our dear friends, at this home, this particular home, the Father's house, the house of the shepherd, the only people who be in this house are his people, his sheep. The great multitude the Bible talks about. In Revelation 7 verse 9, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in her hands, and they're standing, this multitude of people. They're all rejoicing. They're all happy with Christ because they're all home. You know, the Lord says to his people at the end of time, enter into what? The joy of the Lord. I want to tell you, it'll never end. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It'll never end, you see. As I said, no sorrow, no pain, no crying, you see, no death. At this, in the shepherd's home, you see the company of the saints, the company of the shepherd. He'll be there, of course, as well. Hadn't been off a place if Christ wasn't in it. Much we're just all to ourselves, and Christ is not there. But you know, the Lord himself will be there, because in Philippians 1 and verse 23 he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two heaven, a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And here is Paul saying, when I die I'll be with Christ, I'll be home, which is far better. And you know, one day we'll look upon the face of Christ, and one day we'll be with him in his house with his people. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord with Christ. Do you know what a day, a glorious day that'll be? There's loved ones in the glory whose forms we often miss. You close your earthly story and you join them in the bliss. We know that. We know of loved ones who's gone on before us. But listen, they're in the Father's house. They're in the Shepherd's house. And we'll be with Christ. What a day that will be. Listen, it's a permanent home. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. He didn't say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a week. That wouldn't be so good for us, would it? Or I'll dwell in the house of the Lord for a month, or just for a year, or for 10 years. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for 100 years. Not a bit of it. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, my shepherd. Listen. Forever. Do you ever think of everlasting life? Do you ever think of going home, child of God, the glory that's on the other side waiting on us? To be with Christ forever and forever and forever. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, dealing, of course, with the coming of Christ. And it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh dear friends, heaven is the eternal home of the people of God. I believe it's a prominent house as well. There's no house like it. You see, it's the house of the Lord. It's his house we're going to. Who is the Lord? Deuteronomy 10 verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible. He is Lord of lords and God of gods, and there is none like him. Here is a prominent house. The greatest place in all the universe is heaven. And we're going to dwell in the greatest place. The greatest place in this universe is the Father's house. We're going. Heaven. We know they break up heaven into three. There's the atmosphere. That's the miles of air above us where airplanes and all can fly about. And then above that there's space. The sun, the moon, the stars, but they cannot be measured. They do not know how far the farthest star is away from us. That's the second heavens. But you know, we're going even higher than that. We're going to God's throne. We're going to heaven. We're going right to the very top. That's where I'm going. Think of where you were one time in your life. Maybe we're at the very bottom of life, weren't we? At the gutter of sin. And miserable. And far away from Christ, at the very bottom of society, the bottom of your family, the bottom of your neighbourhood, the bottom of immorality. We're going to the very top. We're going to the Father's house. You can go higher than that too, you can't. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell. Personal home. He said in 1 Peter 1 verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved for you. And we're going home. And when David closes here this Psalm 23, he looks at the shepherd. He sees his heart and he sees his home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so will I. A child of God, so will you. That'll never change. These things I've said to you from this psalm right through and even tonight, it never changes. It'll never change in your life. We're going home. We're going home to glory soon. And we'll see Christ, and we'll be with Christ, and we will dwell with Christ forever and ever. I told a wee story, told about a preacher, and his mother died, and he opened up her Bible, had a wee look through the Bible, and he found three things in the margin of Psalm 23. The secret of a happy life was one point. The secret of a happy death, and thirdly, the secret of a happy eternity. And then said written, the Lord is my shepherd. That's it all, isn't it? That's the same, we're back where we started. The Lord is my shepherd. And this one is your shepherd. I'll never change. I'll never change. And he's watching over you. As I said tonight, he has a sheepdog spiritually speaking, and goodness and mercy following you. All the days. All the days. Not some. All the days of your life. Have a look, you'll find them. We have a great shepherd, and may God write his word upon all of our hearts.